If I can take this mic and pass it around to everybody and say, how do you know he's real?
Yes, sir. Look at it.
Praise God. I no doubt in my mind somebody will say, I know he's real because, praise God, one day, praise God, I woke up. I didn't have food to eat. Praise God. One day, I woke up. I didn't have clothes to wear. One day, I woke up. I didn't have enough money to do this. But guess what God did? God made a way. See, you can't tell me that God is not good. I learned that at a young age. Praise God. I'll never forget. I think I've told the story. Praise God. My mother worked hard to try to raise 7 children. Praise God. And one day she came home after they had not paid her.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Songs of praise. Thank God for you. For just looking at you, let me know that God is good. And his mercy is everlasting. Again, we recognize our visiting minister, Evangelist White, and our associate, the person of Reverend Smith. First Lady Armstead and Lady Smith, and to all of our visitors, and to everyone who's sharing on this morning. This is a very important day. This is a time where we come to remember what Christ has done for us, and in expectation of his return for his church. This is the last, amen, Lord's Supper that we will share in the year 2019. Amen. Some started out with us, no longer with us. Some perhaps are with us today, may not be with us next time. But thank God for his mercy. And for his grace. Turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. Everybody got it, say amen. I'm just going to read verse 23 through 26 of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to talk about the importance of the Lord's Supper today. Because I believe in many cases, a lot of people have forgotten the importance and the sacredness of the Lord's Supper. So much so to a lot of folk don't even come and partake, and we say that we're Christians. This is not optional, but this is an obligation on every one of us whenever we come together to commemorate the Lord, death, burial, and resurrection, and his ultimate return. Beginning at verse 23, it reads, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.' The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." You may be seated. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come. Thank you, Lord, for another preaching privilege. And as we come into your presence, we ask that you would grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all your praise. Let your word go forth with power and authority, lifting up a bowed down head, reclaiming a black side, a saving a soul. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
The importance of the Lord's Supper. I begin by saying that the Lord's Supper, which we also call communion, came out of the Jewish Passover in remembrance of the Jews' deliverance, or the Israelites' deliverance from Israel, from Egypt, by the blood of a Passover lamb. The Passover, thank you, it required the death of a lamb and look forward to the coming of the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Now, the new covenant replaced the old covenant when Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed. And when this happened, the old sacrificial system was no longer needed, according to Hebrews 9:25-28, meaning the Lord's Supper, the Christian communion, is a remembrance of what Christ did for us and a celebration of what we received as a result of his sacrifice. And so it was during the age-old celebration of the Passover on the eve of his death that Jesus instituted a significant new fellowship meal that we observe today. It is an integral part of the Christian worship. It causes us to remember our Lord's death and resurrection as well as look forward to his glorious return. Note verse 26 of our text declares, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And so prayer is the occupation of the world. With its needs. Praise is the occupation of the soul with its blessing. Worship is the occupation of the heart, not with needs or even blessing, but with God himself. And so public worship reaches its height at the Lord's table as we contemplate and partake of the symbols of the table on the table. My brothers and sisters, true worship is when we are occupied with no man save Jesus only. Because the Lord's Supper is really a visit to Calvary, where in quietness of soul, a Christian contemplates and meditates on Christ. In other words, nothing but Christ should be magnified in the Lord's Supper, because the ordinance of the Lord's Supper is not some invention by the early apostles or the earlier church, meaning it didn't come by man's reason, but by God's revelation. The Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus in the Gospels. It was practiced in the Acts and taught in the church epistles. It is not an ordinance, a required ceremony that is optional for the church or for the Christian, but rather it's an obligation placed on the church and every Christian by the Savior himself, which shows us the importance of the Lord's Supper. Because, you see, God knows that believers forget the important matters easily, so he designed this supper to help each of us remember and worship him until he returns. So in partaking of the supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back. But, you know, I believe that the reason some in the church don't recognize the importance of the Lord's Supper are there are some who are afraid to partake of the Lord's Supper because they misunderstand verse 27 through 29. And I think the old King James Version is what messed a whole lot of folk up. It said, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks from the cup of the Lord, the old King James Version say unworthily. Are you with me? And this causes some to back up, especially if you've done something wrong. But the New King James makes it a little clearer, and it says, whoever eats the bread and drinks from the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. But now the key word here is the manner in which one observe or partake the Lord's Supper that makes it unworthy. In other words, Paul is not addressing the personal worthiness of the individual partaking the supper, because scripture is clear that all of us are unworthy of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, which is remembered when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And that's why Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love, his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Meaning we will never deserve the grace of God shown to us in Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. But we can and should observe the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. And so someone may ask, what does it mean to observe the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? Well, let me say, immediately after Pentecost, the Christians in Jerusalem had all things in common, according to Acts 2:44-45. In other words, they sold all their belongings and brought it and gave it to the disciples so that everyone had the same. No one had more than the other. But it seemed that after this community of goods ceased to be the norm, the wealthy members of the church would bring food to certain servants for what is called a love feast, according to Jude verse 12, to be held after communion, where the rich and the poor came together in fellowship. And so in the context of our text in verse 20 through 21, in Corinth, this love feast seems to have overshadowed the Lord's Supper, because those who brought food ate it in their own little clique without waiting for the whole congregation to assemble, imitating the drunken revels of the heathen people in their idol temples. And thus the Christians in Corinth were making their love feast an occasion for gluttony, losing sight entirely on the significance of the Lord's Supper. Note Paul says in verse 20 and 21, he said, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the other, and one is hungry and the other is drunk. And so here we see that they are partaking of the supper in an unworthy manner, because they were disregarding the true meaning of the bread and the cup by forgetting the tremendous price Christ paid for our salvation, meaning they had allowed the ceremony to become a dead and formal ritual. Also, I need to tell us coming to the Lord's Supper with unconfessed sins is also partaken in an unworthy manner. And so in keeping with Paul's instructions, we should examine ourselves before eating and drinking of the cup. Because when partaking of the elements of the Lord, we must recognize that they are more than just symbols of something that happened a long time ago. But whenever we gather together, we must recognize the importance of the Lord's Supper. We need to realize that Christ is present with us spiritually, and is not the memory of him that is present, but his spiritual presence is right here in our midst. Not in the elements of the table as the Roman Catholic view of a big word, transubstantiation, where the bread and the juice they believe actually is changed into the body and the blood of Christ, nor of Martin Luther's consubstantiation, where the body and the blood of Christ are physically present in the elements, meaning the elements don't change and the body and the blood cannot be recognized by taste, but in some real physical way, the body and blood of Christ is present. But we, as well as other Protestants today, hold to the spiritual presence of the Lord and the Lord's Supper. The elements do not change, the body become the body and blood of Christ in any kind of way physically, but the elements are symbols of his body and blood. Now, Jesus did say when he was instituting the Lord's Supper, he said, "This is my body, and this is my blood." It was in the context of the Passover meal in which every element had a symbolic meaning, meaning it would have been entirely out of context for the disciples to suddenly interpret these items of what Jesus meant literally, especially since Jesus had not been crucified yet. And so as we partake of the elements of communion today, we recognize that they are more than just symbols of something that happened a long time ago, because whenever we gather together to observe the Lord's Supper, Christ is present with us spiritually. In other words, it's not just the memory of him that's present. He's in our midst. He's right here in the congregation. And so the emphasis upon his presence within the worshiping body and not within the elements on the table, meaning the believer communes, yes, Lord, with the Lord through the act of remembrance and worship. And so the Lord's Supper was instituted as a significant new fellowship meal that we observe in remembrance of the Lord's death and resurrection as we look forward to his glorious return. Now, the Passover was the most sacred feast of the Jewish year. It commemorated the final plague of Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptian died and the Israelite was spared because of the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. The lamb was roasted and eaten with unleavened bread, and God commanded that throughout the generation to come, this feast must be celebrated by the Jews. Now, this story is recorded in Exodus 12. And so it was during the Last Supper, the Passover celebration, that Jesus took a loaf of bread and gave thanks to God. And as he broke it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you," according to Luke 22:19-21. And then the words say, he concludes the feast by singing a hymn, and they went out in the night to the Mount of Olives, where it was predicted that he would be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And so, as I told you, it wouldn't be long. As I try to move to the close in the text, Paul is correcting and showing the Corinthian Christians the significance and the importance of the Lord's Supper. He reminds them of Jesus' word at the Last Supper, and he encourages them to examine themselves before they partake of the supper. And so he said to them in our text in verse 23 through 24, 5, he said, for I received of the Lord, from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. He said, this do in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. He said, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. But then it was in verse 26 where Jesus places a time limit on the ceremony when he said, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Meaning the time limit of this ceremony is until the Lord returns. And one of these old days, he will return. And I know sometimes it get a little hard along the way. But I hear Jesus telling his disciples, as well as us this morning. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. He said, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. My brothers and sisters, and that Friday, that dark Friday, they took our Lord and they hung him on an old rugged cross where he hung there from the 6th to the 9th hour in your place and mine. And then he died that we might live. He was buried in Joseph Barrett's tomb, Joseph new tomb. But bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. And it's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. I'm telling you, I know he lives, and he's coming back again. Because after Jesus rose up from the grave and showed himself for some 40 days to be alive, the Bible says one day above 500 brethren at once, he caught a cloud and he went back to glory. And I hear the angels sing, oh, ye men of Galilee, while you stand here gazing, that same Jesus, just like you see him going up, one of these old days, he's coming back again. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he pick you up when you fall down? Ain't God all right? I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. He heard my cry, pitted every groan. Long as I live, while trouble rise, I'm just gonna haste unto his throne. And in the meantime, as we partake of the supper, he said, this do in remembrance of me until I come again. Brethren and sisters, we need to understand what we're about to do right now has some significance as well as importance. You shouldn't take it lightly. Everybody in mind ought to be on Jesus. Why should you think of Jesus? You ought to think about what he had to go through in your place and in my place, the suffering he took for you and me, that we might be delivered from the penalty of sin and eternal damnation. So may God bless you and may God keep you, is our prayer. At this time, we extend the invitation. There may be somebody who would like to get on board. There is room at the cross. for you. There is room at the cross for you. Though the million may come, still that room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You don't have to worry about getting crowded out. There's always gonna be room. There is room at the cross for you. There is room at the cross for you. Though the million may come, oh, that room for one. Oh, that room at the cross.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Kelly Sitting Services is a personal care attendant agency. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for the past 25 years. We are locally owned and locally operated. We would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion through our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you. Kelly is an equal opportunity employer. You can reach us by calling 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. Or you can visit us at our website located at KellyServiceHouston.com. Another proud sponsor of KAYT.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.